Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Hey, it's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Actually, Dennis got a promotion.
I did.
So we're looking for another help desk person out there. So.
Yeah. You got to come aboard.
You want to join us and become an employee owner yourself? You can take Dennis's seat.
Yep. So that I can finally move up.
To the next seat.
And then someone else can move up beyond me.
Exactly.
He's been waiting too.
It's all a matter of putting all the right pieces in the right order.
Yeah.
So feel free to get join us. Check out our careers page over at Tab Computer Systems. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And you guys remembered we start at 9. So we actually have two callers on the line, two lines open for you. So you may want to get online now. 860-522-WTIC is the number. But as usual and customary, we do have some technology news we think you might be interested in. What do you want to start there, Dennis?
Well, I want to start about with something that we've discussed before and continues to be a major problem for some folks.
Yeah.
Remember, HP has... In the past, they've released firmwares to their printers, and they're building new ones that come out of the factory
with
logic in them that will not allow you to print if you've got a third-party cartridge in it.
Right. They don't want you to
use are inkjet printers.
Cheaper cartridges.
Right. Now, they initially kind of denied that there was this campaign to do that, and
really?
Then they kind of admitted it, and then... A couple months ago, one of their executives just let the cat out of the bag and said, yeah, that's our business model, subscribing to ink. That's how we make our money, folks.
Right.
Now, here is another justification for this.
According to HP.
That comes from their CEO.
Oh, wow.
They are helping you see.
Yeah.
They're being nice to you and protecting your device and your network.
Really?
Yeah, because if you use third-party cartridges, your printer can be hacked and your network compromised.
Really?
Really.
That's what they said?
Yes.
Do they know we have an article about them being hacked by Russia that is coming up? Do we have that?
That?
I wonder if they were using the wrong cartridge.
Okay, I'm going to sound like I'm defending them, but I'm not.
Yeah.
That was a different company?
Yes.
They're both HP.
Yeah.
But one is the products division, and then the other one is the enterprise software and server division.
I'm just wondering if the enterprise software and server division had a compromised cartridge.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
But
that's crazy.
Here, I mean, they've gone from like denying this whole thing to embracing it and then telling you it's for your own good that we're making you pay through the nose for ink cartridges.
That's crazy. Now,
it is true that there is a danger. Okay.
Yeah.
It's theoretical.
Ah.
The logistics that it would take to actually compromise printers by this method are pretty involved. And the end result for you, if you are a crook trying to compromise printers, the end destination of where you're going with this is very questionable, because what can you do with the printer once you've taken command of it?
Oh, you can make it shoot paper like crazy. Maybe you'll get a paper cut in your eye or something.
Yeah. Well, the capability of a printer to then compromise a network that it's on is always questionable because the electronics and the logic in the printer are going to constrain that.
Right.
It depends on what they can do, how much memory is in the chips, and so on. And a lot of cases, they got nothing, especially with some of these consumer-grade printers where the electronics just aren't that good to begin with. So what are they going to do?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to get ink all over the paper. They're going to hope you pick up the paper with your fingers, and that'll get your fingerprint. And then they can go ahead and MacGyver that into accessing your phone. That's what they're going to do.
I don't know. At any rate.
Well, they're saving us. We think that.
It's just more rationale for treating customers like crooks themselves. And it's just crazy to me.
Oh, you can't save money on ink. No. All right. All right. In other news, this is interesting. I got some friends and family that have graduated with art degrees from the University of Hartford. They're amazing artists, right? Graphic artists. And they can do just gorgeous, amazing art. Well, the problem is when they put that art on the interwebs, or they sell it or try to market it or what have you, there are AI tools out there that are scraping it.
Oh.
DALL-E and others will go out there and steal their artistic approaches. And that kind of makes them cranky because it's hard enough even to get a job in graphic arts, let alone having some AI out there stealing your work. Because it's okay. It's almost the whole Napster thing these days. Right now, there's no law out there that says you can't take people's work. I mean, they're all worried about having some fake call to tell you not to vote. But this kind of stuff, we won't worry about
it. Well, this is just people's livelihood. That's okay.
Yeah,
we don't need to worry about that.
It's like Napster on steroids. So there's a tool out there, and it's called Nightshade. Mm-hmm. And basically, it came out from the University of Colorado, I think. No, Chicago. And they developed this tool for graphic artists where you can actually poison the AI.
What?
It kind of hides the art. So basically, it was first reported by MIT Technology Review. Nightshade builds on earlier work by the University of Chicago to give artists a choice in how their artwork is used. The original version, Glaze, hid art styles from the AI. While it may recognize that the art piece is a dog, for instance, it may incorrectly recognize a dog as drawn in an anime style versus an impressionism style.
Okay.
Nightshade goes further. The whole process works by making minute changes to pixels in the artwork. These changes are invisible to the human eye, but detected by AI. The altered pictures corrupt the AI's understanding of the artwork by giving it a new word association in the subject.
Oh.
So when it looks at the image of a dog, it misidentifies it as a cat.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the only way to fix that, though, is to have humans find all these altered images. But guess what? Humans can't see the altered images. It's still a dog to them.
Right. And the other issue is, how can humans correct all these images that are getting vacuumed up at the rate of, 300,000 a second? I mean, that kind of auditing is just not going to happen.
And it's physically impossible because you can't see the altered pixels. So this is kind of cool. If you're a graphic artist and you're sitting here, you're a parent of a graphic artist, and you just dropped $250,000 so that your kid can go ahead and make beautiful art, and then these darn computers are just ripping them off, they can use this tool to poison their artwork. And doesn't damage the artwork, right? It's still a beautiful piece of artwork. It's just DALL-E can't figure out what to do with it. And the version 1.0 of this tool is so popular in universities that they had to actually create mirror servers to allow for it to download faster, because there's plenty of folks out there that want to protect their work. I find this interesting in that everyone's so worried about AI. Imagine the tools that are going to be happening now to poison the AI in general. I mean, we've already kind of poisoned it by some of the dumb things we do. Our searches are getting stupider and stupider.
True.
So then imagine you add works, right, that are just written in gibberish or Pig Latin or what have you. The AI doesn't know. And before you know it, you're trying to use a tool to produce something, and it injects all sorts of gibberish into your work. So that's kind of interesting. We'll put this link up here for you. You can take a look at it. You can then, of course, download the tool if you're actually a graphic artist and poison your art so that the AI can't steal it from you.
Well, isn't that cool?
It is cool. It's crazy that it's a thing. I mean, we've heard of Napster, right? How many, again, our lawmakers don't understand this stuff until it's way too late.
True. Very true.
Talk about cat out of the bag. I saw this in the news here. T-Mobile plans to deprioritize heavy data users of its home 5G networks.
Now, what do you mean by deprioritize?
Well, so here's the thing, right? So we've been talking about these. You can get home cellular internet, and it's a great thing. It competes against the cable companies to the point where you're actually seeing ads from the cable companies saying why you don't want to go with cellular internet. Well, guess what? Lots and lots and lots of people are going to with cellular internet and beating the heck out of the cable companies, which no one's shedding a tear for. However, T-Mobile is saying, you know what? Those folks who are exceeding 1.2 terabytes of data usage are going to see their usage deprioritized, meaning your packets are, again, net neutrality, right? Your packets are throttled, right? After you've gone through 1.2 terabytes of data, they're going to say, well, any request from Dennis out there is going to be a second tier request versus a primary tier request. It only affects about 10% of their base. And again, depending on the competition, they may or may not implement it, right? If they're really trying to do some damage to the competition, they're not going to want to throttle you.
True.
So we'll see what happens with this. But of course, this is the thing. They have to manage their networks, right? You have to allow the internet provider to manage their networks. And if they're going to throttle you to not to your satisfaction, you can choose a different provider.
Yeah,
the amazing options of choice. Ooh. So we'll put this link up here for you. If you're a T-Mobile user, you can see if you're being impacted by this. And again, some people may not even be impacted because they're just trying to – they'll be testing it in different areas kind of thing. But it's not a surprise. Comcast, by the way, a cable company, they also have a 1.2 terabyte cap.
Oh.
But guess what? It's not enforced in the Northeast market, where it faces more competition from fiber optic services.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, isn't that crazy how that works? So even the cable companies have the same cap. So I'm not trying to cast asparagus on T-Mobile's here, but at least you should know about it. So we'll put a link up there for you. Anything else you want to talk about? Well, we should probably go to our break.
Yeah, I think so.
We've had a ton of calls coming in, so Hal, Jack, and John, hang on, and one line open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. Yes, we are back.
Yeah.
Carolyn's doing some great stuff with the music.
We're back in the day.
Yeah. It was just yesterday for me, as far as I'm concerned. we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online and we'll do our best to help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number. Let's get to your calls right away. You were nice enough to join us first thing in the morning. We're going out to Marlboro and Hal first. What's going on, Hal?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
My calculator, the calculator app, excuse me, on my Windows 10 is not working. I click on it, it comes up for a second or two, and then just disappears.
Huh, sounds like when Solitaire wouldn't work. You can't calculate on your computer. It's like, that's awful.
I've tried a couple of steps to remedy the situation. I went and opened up settings, I did a reset. I uninstalled and reinstalled the app. What else did I do? I ran a thing called get-appx package re-register all my Windows apps.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. It didn't help.
I reinstalled it. And I also ran a system file checker. I did an SFC / scan now.
Right.
Done all those things, and it's still not working.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you stole all of our thunder.
I mean, those are things that I've done in the past to fix, you know, those are what are informally called Metro apps. They were, they come in through the Windows or Microsoft Store, and they get installed that way. And that's why those PowerShell commands you referred to, like get-app package.
Right, now.
That's how you manage them.
And this is Windows 10, right?
Yep.
Windows 10, right?
Just love this. He can't use his calculator. I mean, it's almost as bad as it not knowing what time it is, which happens too. And you've done exactly everything that's listed as far as what you should be doing. How old is the computer?
it's an old computer, but I keep up to date with it. It does all its updates every month or so, and I run scans. I run virus and malware scans on it. I don't think I've got anything. That's another step I took. I ran a virus scan and a malware scan just to see if something was going on, and they both come up with nothing.
Right. Unbelievable. I mean, everything you've listed, I can't think. I see no alternative to everything you've listed to fix this problem.
Other thing that I can think of is to run a Windows repair, which is, it's like reinstalling Windows on the computer, but it isn't really going to, it's not really going to overwrite anything or get rid of any of your apps. It's just going to reinstall the operating system files, and it'll modify the registry a little bit, clean that up too.
Yeah, but it's kind of like giving your an engine an overhaul because you have a low tire.
Yeah, or it's like trying to carve a turkey with a machete. I get it.
Yeah,
and so, yeah. But that's really the next step that I would be taking with you if you were.
There's another one.
Oh, and
I bet you there's a bazillion other calculator apps out there.
Oh, yeah, and 90% of them are probably free.
They're probably free, but you got to be careful if they ask you what your location is or stuff like that. But if you look at, I bet you Texas Instruments or somebody has a calculator app you can download and not use Windows. It's a lot of work here to fix this.
Yeah, I did load another one on there, but I'm just very curious as to why, taking all these steps, the original calculator, which I've used for years, is not working. It just stopped working. I was working on it. I used it in the morning, came back in the afternoon, tried to load it, and it just stopped.
Right. So why do you think we're so jaded? I mean, this is what we see every day with more, much more complicated systems, networking, security. This is our life, and your silly calculator is not working, and you've done everything right to try to get it to work. Welcome to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Welcome to why there's senators starting to say, hey, Microsoft, why is your stuff so crappy? This is our life, and this is again why I'm so jaded. Maybe not my dentist; he's not a jaded person, but it's just crazy that this is a thing, right?
Yeah,
uninstall, reinstall didn't work. You did the system file checker. You did the updates. It's ridiculous.
Well, I was also going to ask: did you call tech support from the manufacturer? I don't. I mean, not that I think that they're going to be able to solve it either, but I'm just wondering if you went that route and what they had to say.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
How about doing a restore point? Did you do any other kind of updates on your system before it stopped working?
You can do a recovery.
No.
Have you tried the recovery?
I got the latest update in when was January 10th, I guess it was, and everything was fine, and all of a sudden it just stopped working this week.
Yeah, no, I know. All of a sudden, again, is another word. If we would be bazillionaires,
yeah,
if
I've heard it so many times.
Just a nickel would get us there. We can put some articles, and you can see if there's some aspects of those articles that you haven't tried. I mean, Dennis gave you an option here, like taking a machete to this thing and having it, redo the whole entire operating system because your calculator doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a little overkill, I think.
Yeah. It is and it isn't, but just imagine, you can't get the app to even work. Can we even trust its ability to calculate?
that's a really good question.
Is 2 plus 2 4 on the Microsoft Windows calculator? I don't know anymore. I mean...
Well, Mike G. found what I call a shotgun article that includes a whole lot of fixes.
Yeah.
Some of these you have already done, but we can post it. And you may find that some of the other suggestions work for you. And whichever ones do, I would love to know about it. The one that I'm thinking of that you might want to try next would be the Windows Store Troubleshooter.
All right.
And try
Windows
that
Store
maybe.
Troubleshooter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Hal.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Good luck. And let us know how it goes. We're curious
I really want to know.
How many hours of your life did Microsoft steal for you because their calculator didn't work? We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have one line open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And just, I was just curious, you know, I made that comment, you know, I bet you, if the, once you get the calculator app working again, it probably won't give you the right results. And you can do a search in Google. You can just Google it. And there's tons of articles about how the Microsoft calculator produces wrong answers in simple math operations.
Oh.
And basically, they revamped their calculator in Windows 10. And if you go ahead and back in this article is 2016, if you put in 2 plus 2 times 3, the calculator, of course, would not take into consideration order of operations and would give you the wrong answer. Thank you, Microsoft. We love your revamped calculator. This is it. I mean, how do you release a product like that, right? It's a simple calculator. And then you say to yourself, geez, it's a computer. The word compute is in the word computer, and you can't calculate 2 plus 2 times 3 correctly. It works if you flip the scientific mode on the calculator,
right.
But it should work in standard mode too. We'll see how this
works. And it would also work if you had typed everything in the right order, but that isn't something that you should have to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you have a computer, right, Dennis?
Right.
So we were just curious. I was just curious. I mean, it's not too far-fetched. All right, let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Jack in Glastonbury next. What's happening, Jack?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm on speakerphone.
We can. Oh, yeah. Sure, you sound okay.
Yeah, good. I'm out in the middle of a forest right now doing a little hike, but I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my Windows 10 computer has a C and a D drive, and the C drive is where most of the, where the system stuff is, and a D drive is kind of like where you keep all your other files.
Right.
But I noticed that the user file is on the C drive, and that's getting very full, so that my C drive is almost 90% full. I've got like 20 gigs left on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's a way I can move the user file over to my D drive.
Yeah, there are ways you can do that. What might be simpler than moving the entire user directory from one drive to another would be maybe to relocate your documents folder to somewhere on the D drive. What you'd have to do is create a folder for yourself on D. You can call it My Documents or whatever you'd like. And then what you do is you open up the properties for documents on the left side of Explorer in Windows. You look at a tab in the properties that's called location, and then you would type this new location, whatever it is that you created on the D drive.
You gotta create it first.
Right. I told him that.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
You type that in, and it will actually relocate all those files and move them for you. Yep.
Right. I understand part of that, but I don't use the documents thing for my documents. I've got all of my documents and all of that on the already on the D drive. Where the big one that I've got out there right now is my music, library. That's under the users. I'm wondering if I can move that because Apple and all of those other things know where it is right now.
Well, you know? any of those dedicated folders that are under your user account, like documents, desktop, music, video, all of those can be moved using the same method that I just described. They all, their properties all have a location tab, and you put in your new location, whatever you created on D, and it will move them all for you.
But the apps are not going to say, oh, you moved them over here.
Yes, the apps themselves may not find them where they were. So in the apps that you're using, you're going to have to, you know, make sure that they know to look in this new location as well. That's why there's a lot of housekeeping that goes along with this. And that's why I don't advocate moving the entire users folder, because then you're going to be doing a lot of housekeeping in everything. Yeah. Right now, all you need to do is check your music apps and then change those. And you're limiting all of this follow-up work that you'll have to do.
All right. One other thing is my plan is to do this right after I do a backup. So normally at the end of the month.
Nice.
Hey. So I do my backup.
Yeah, that's me clapping.
I will be doing that, and it will be checkpointing my system. So that's so after the backup's complete, that's when I'll do this in case I mess things up.
All right, good idea.
Very good idea. Excellent idea.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome, Jack. Where are you hiking? Is it a good place?
I'm not in Mansfield right now, in a forest off of Knowlton Road.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm with a group of people, and we do these hikes every so often, but I want to get this question in.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do my backup at the end of the month, and that would be too late for me to ask the question.
That sounds good. Well, we're glad you did, and I guess those banana slug ads worked.
I'll see if I can find some. It's pretty cold out here, so I don't think there'll be any there.
All right, Jack. Have fun. Thanks for calling.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Don't you remember those banana slug ads? Hey,
banana.
Peter. There's a banana slug talking to a kid to go outside and hike.
Oh, okay.
No, maybe don't hear. I'm a radio junkie. I'm sorry. We're going to go on to the next call here. Let's go to John in East Longmeadow. What's going on, John?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm having a problem getting – let me start at the beginning. I recently purchased a tax program, the most popular one from one of the local warehouse stores, and I downloaded it. I downloaded and installed it, but every step along the way seems to be a problem. I did the download. Part of the installation is to do an update to get the what I downloaded up to today's standards, and I checked it.
Wait a minute. The download isn't even current. Jiminy crickets.
No. I thought that too. And in the course of doing the update, it did say it'll be another 3 or 4 minutes because we do find updates.
Okay.
And it get completed.
Yeah.
And it says, are you ready to go? And I says, yeah. So here, click the launch button. I did. And it comes up with a thing saying, we can't get to the update site because your internet is down. And I just downloaded it, installed it, everything. But there's a way you can retry or bypass it. I bypassed it. It asked for my name and password. I put that in, and then I said ready to go to the authentication thing where you verify this is the program you downloaded and you use the number that that I received with the email.
Uh-huh.
But it just keeps coming back to putting in my email and I know you can't fix the computer. I mean the program. But is there any general housekeeping rules or anything I could try? Because I've been at this for about 2 weeks, and I've talked to at least 7 different people at the customer support facility at the
What's the program name? Is it TurboTax?
Yes, it is TurboTax.
Oh.
I've used it for the last 6 years, and never had this problem before.
Interesting. So you download it. It says to update it. You update it. It says it wants to update itself again. Then it says it's ready to go, and then you can't go because it can't find the internet.
No. It can find the internet, but it says that it didn't see that I typed in my name and password. It keeps asking me for my name and password again. You know, I did the download and the update, and part of the update is to make sure that it's current with today's tax rules. And that happens every time you start this program. The first thing they do is they check for updates. I mean, that's normal. But
yeah.
I'm at the sign. I'm at the authentication portion of the thing, and it says, "How do you want to sign in?" You get the option of one of them being your email,
right,
or username. And I put in my email. Then it comes back with another screen. What's the password? I put the password in. It comes back with, instead of ready for the authentication screen, it comes back with, "How do you want to enter the authentication screen?" Asking me for my email again. And I've gone through it a couple of times just to make sure it's not a trick, and it's. Yeah, I mean, I know that's, you know, and they can't find anything wrong at TurboTax, and I'm about to give up, but I wanted one last try. Is there any housekeeping rules or you know, computer housekeeping rules that I could try before?
No, I mean, there's nothing that we're thinking of that would cause us. This is purely a TurboTax software issue.
It's its own software talking to its own
authentication
servers and its own update servers. So it's entirely within their world, as it were.
Now, when it kicks off that request, is there any browser involvement? Does it kick off Chrome or Edge, or is there any kind of interfacing with a browser for this to work?
It doesn't say that. I use Yahoo all the time, or Firefox all the time. My email's on Yahoo, and I have no trouble with anything else.
No, we understand.
Yeah.
You may want to install another browser option there. I mean, I'm thinking there's something going on there with that authenticator where it's...
Yeah, he's got Firefox, and he's going to have Edge, too.
Right.
And then he might even have Chrome. So there's already three options, that he would already have.
One of the people of the seven I have spoken to suggested we come up on Edge.
All right.
So they're on the same thing.
Another one said Chrome.
Okay.
And to get anywhere at all, this is important, I think. I had to turn off the firewall and the virus checker for the course of trying to do it. And that got me to this point where I can't sign in. But I had trouble initially getting a password, all kinds of stuff, and I'm here and I'm getting frustrated and they can't help me, and
And there's nothing worse than having your tax software tell you to turn off your security tools. It doesn't give you a nice sense of confidence there.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling it's browser related, and they do too.
Yeah, that's what they're angling at. I can tell you that right now. Eric may be onto it. Install another browser. Okay, you can pick anything. You know, Brave, Vivaldi, Opera,
or Chrome, something,
Chrome or anything.
I think the other ones might be a little too restrictive and cause even further problems.
Well, true, Brave. Well, Brave and Vivaldi have privacy protection, so that might not be good. Opera is a general browser.
Yeah.
But install that briefly. Make it the default browser for the computer.
Right.
Reboot the computer, and then do nothing but try to work with TurboTax.
Yeah.
Okay.
And see if you can get it to go, and see if it invokes Opera to do the authentication, and then see if that works.
Now the other thought is, right, it's going to cost you what? Probably $200 or $300, right, when you're all said and done for the TurboTax.
It was a great deal. I bought it at I don't want to mention the name of the store.
That's
but
fine.
they had a sale where I could get it for about $20 cheaper than the program itself cost me $44.
Yeah.
And that actually included a $10 coupon in there for when I file my the federal tax filing is free, but the state is got a charge, and this coupon's good against that charge. So
nice.
And like I said, I've used the same process the last 2 years, and I've been using TurboTax for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
you know, the download thing.
I'm hoping you come
up with some magic thing.
Yeah.
Well, one more question: do you have any antivirus on the computer other than the built-in Defender?
No.
Okay. I was wondering if you had one of these antivirus packages that might actually be acting as a as a background proxy for your web browsing, and it might be throwing it off. But no, Defender doesn't do that. So,
no. Try the browser. Try the browser idea. TurboTax, really, their support should be the right solution, but seven of them, my goodness.
Everybody had a slightly different tack, but I ended up at this endpoint right here where I can't get past this step.
Yeah.
Well, based on what two different people told you, that the browser issue is what they're going after. They're just doing it in different ways.
Yeah.
I hope I don't have to call back next week.
Well, if you do, if you have time, we'd love to know if that was a solution.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jen.
Well, thanks, gents.
Yeah, good luck.
Have a good one. Remember, stay out of trouble or have fun, okay?
Right, well, then, yes, that's what you're going to say here. You could also not pay your taxes, I guess.
There's a deal. Can you offer professional advice on that?
No. No. Never. All right, good luck, Jen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Of course, they would never want you to not pay your taxes. My goodness. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Craig, Ina, Jeff, this is Computer Talk. Hang on. We'll get to your calls. We'll be right back.
Miami Vice.
Yeah, man. Iconic. Carolyn, going to the well for us. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to be until 11 o'clock. You guys are nice enough to join us this Saturday morning. And, the TurboTax, and the poor guy can't pay his taxes. What's he supposed to do?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Woo.
But we have a lot of articles that we posted because this is a problem that goes back year after year after year after year. It seems they have had this type of issue. Interesting that seven different support folks over at TurboTax couldn't help him. That's just nutty. So hopefully we gave him the right answer or gave him the right thing to try. Let's go to Amherst, Massachusetts, and Ina next. Hi, Ina. Am I saying that right?
It's Ina, yeah.
All right. Yeah? What can we do for you?
Well, it's time for us to get a new computer or maybe two. Right. Our main computer is often used for sports games, paying bills, and right now it's a tower. So we're wondering, do we go the laptop route? Do we go with the tower? Our second computer, also old, is a all-in-one frame touchscreen. Mm. I don't even know if they make that technology.
Oh,
it doesn't have the tower, but it's kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to look for a direction. And can I say the word Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
TiVo, they're no longer going to stay in business because entities, don't use their cards.
TiVo's finally going to be gone, huh?
Yeah. So,
it's a sad
ending. We don't want to invest in a computer where the technology is going to be, going old.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It really just depends on what you're going to do with the device. I mean, a laptop is nice and portable. You can move it around. I would angle toward the laptop based on kind of what you said. All-in-ones are nice too, though, but the only issue is when the all-in-one breaks, you're dealing with the whole thing. That's not having trouble. It's hard to work on.
They can be. I mean, you can still, work on the different portions separately, but it does take a little finessing.
And then, of course, towers are the word towers are getting a little more passe. You're going to find towers still in computer-aided design where you get to put these video cards in there and this liquid cooling to keep the thing nice and cool and operating, but you're not doing any of that at your home. So you could look at even mini computers. These are computers that are about the size of a coffee mug. And that's what we do for our clients, for our business clients. So there's many ways to skin this cat, but I would tell you to look maybe at a laptop to be able to be portable based on what you've told me. And I would look at the Envy one.
Yeah, that might be good for Zoom.
Yeah.
And so you can hook those easily up to a monitor too. So
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? The Envys, I think, all have an HDMI port.
I couldn't tell you for certain, but
they
must. Yeah. And you should be able to adapt it out to an HDMI port to connect it to a monitor if you wanted to.
Okay. And is it Acer?
Acer's a fine brand, but I like HP Envy's. It's done well by me. My oldest has still got his Envy from college, and he's 26. So they last a long time. The metal frames are the quality.
The one right in front of me I bought in 2019, and it runs as well as the day I bought it.
Yeah.
And it will probably for another couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an Envy.
Yeah, HP Envy. Take a look at that line. It's a pretty. It hasn't failed me unless you use the plastic versions of it, and then those hinges go.
Yeah, it's aluminum.
Okay. Yeah, stick aluminum. Stay with aluminum.
Oh, thanks so much, guys.
You're welcome, Ina. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So Jeff and Craig, hang on. Three lines open for you guys. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Also, we're podcasted. So if you miss a show or you miss something we talked about, you can subscribe to our podcast. Go to WTIC.com or even on computertalkwithtab.com and then subscribe to us on your favorite podcast delivering mechanism. And you can listen to us 24/7 for the rest of your lives. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.